But you know, we actually mentioned Disney and Jollibee so much today that this is not a sponsored episode unless you guys want to send over some endorsement products, you know, especially Jollibee.
We will manifest a collaboration. Kumusta? And welcome to Kumu Kwentuhan, the podcast where we talk about the adventures and misadventures of building a tech and media startup in the Philippines. Kumu is a live stream powered social networking platform for Filipinos by Filipinos. With millions of users all around the globe, the app has become a vibrant space where individuals can earn, connect, create, and be their authentic self. As Kumu continues to grow, new avenues emerge in the digital space, opening more opportunities to discover talent, deliver entertainment, promote brands, and venture into e-commerce. In a company as dynamic as Kumu, you encounter something new and exciting every day. Get a sneak peek into that world by hearing the stories of people behind the scenes. From the ups and downs to the wins and losses, you are sure to walk away learning something new. Tara na, magkwentuhan na tayo.
Hey listeners, thanks for tuning in to Kumu Kwentuhan. My name is Selena De Dios and I will be your host for this episode. Last week, we talked to the people team of Kumu and learned how they bring out the best in their employees while also prioritizing their overall well-being to prevent burnout. Tonight, we're pivoting as we talk about the business itself. Before Kumu established itself, it took a lot to solidify its reputation. You know, while multiple factors played into that, arguably branding was a significant contributor. But there are a lot of misnomers about the term. That's why we've invited Roland, Rexy, and Vicky to discuss the initial groundwork that they laid out to make the Kumu brand not only identifiable, but valuable. So much like the growth episode, maybe someone can first give the context of the company's early brand strategies and how it was approached early on.
Wow. So when it comes to brand, I think, you know, what's so beautiful about the team is technically, I guess, Rexy, we founded it, but I don't know anything about brand. And what I love about, you know, what Vicky did for us is she could translate our soul and then put it out there to ways that we could actually, you know what I mean? Like, I'm having a hard time actually clarifying or communicating what that is. And that's why it's so cool. I remember the first time when basically Kumu was an idea and we met at Wholesome Table and we met Vicky for the first time, she like got us right there within that first meeting. And it was so cool hearing it from her and being able to really communicate that in a way that people outside of the craziness happening inside my brain could actually digest. Vicky, we're just always so grateful for you and just doing such an amazing job and really allowing us to really ironically be ourselves, which is actually what this app is supposed to be. And you know, being out there in the public and seeing what people are saying about us. Again, I think, Vicky, I just, you know, leave the table or just leave the floor to you to help, you know, communicate what that is. Or Rexy, if you wanted to say too. But yeah, I'm just super grateful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the quick thing I would chip in is just to kind of call back to one of the previous episodes, the one about growth, right? But you kind of mentioned that to a degree, branding is like what people say about you when you're not in the room, right? Yeah. So it's like less about the, or less directly about the specifics of like how it looks and what the name is and what the colors are and that kind of stuff. I think those play into it and those are important elements. But it's more about what those things evoke. Like when people hear Kumu or when they see Carlito the Tarsier or when they kind of see the Kumu like gradient on stuff, like what are the things that brings out in people from all the articles that they might have read, things they might have heard from their friends, from celebrities, et cetera. Like what's the first thing that comes to mind and what are the, and also what are like the deeper emotions and ideas that come with it, right? And the thing about that is that like early on, there is nothing, right? There is no word of mouth. There is no reputation. There is no, like, people aren't talking about you. So it's hard to a degree. It's a bit hard to plan for that. And so to a degree, you just kind of have to like kind of do your best at taking a stab at it and kind of articulating it consistently enough, at least internally, that, you know, you're on the same page and also that the kind of like the branding, like tactically, like logo and the elements and the name and the colors and that kind of stuff is at least like accessible enough that, and I think to a degree for us, it's like, it's enough of like a, it's a canvas that like allows for the right, I don't know, colors and shapes to be placed on it, right? The Kumu is enough, is a malleable enough kind of name, and Carlito is like a kind of broad enough like idea and shape that we were able to kind of build over time those like feelings and emotions and values and ideas that have become like to a degree attached to it, that are still, and that's still being this kind of like determined right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess with that, I'll pass it on to Vicky.
What you guys said was absolutely correct. I think it all starts with vision, right? And specifically from the vision of our founders. And when I heard the vision of what, at the time when I met them, it was Roland and Claire, when I met them about 2 years ago in Wholesome Table. And it, I said this before in another podcast, you can feel energy. So I could already sense what Roland and Claire wanted to build. And then a few weeks later, I got on a call with Rexy, and then I got on a call with James, and then I was officially onboarded. Angelo, I already knew here in the Philippines. So it starts with a vision of like, what's the vision, right? And then this is the picture we want to paint. When it starts from that, everything else is kind of like, okay, so this is our product, and then this is what we want to be known for. So for example, in the beginning years of Kumu, we were one thing, which was, at the time when I met the founders, it was the Messenger app. So that was our identity. And then as we journeyed together, we started to discover other things that the company could become. And then it became what it is now, a social entertainment platform, which focuses primarily on live streaming, right? So even as a company, we were discovering who we were through our journey. We were discovering who we were through the people we onboarded into our company culture who joined our team. We were discovering who we were through the different content we were seeing come out on the app. We were discovering who we were with the best practices, with the adventures and misadventures and everything we talked about in the past episodes of this podcast, right? And that self-discovery actually helped build our brand identity. So it wasn't necessarily built traditionally where it was cooked in a lab and it was decided, you know what I mean? It's like, this is our brand. And then here, this is what it's going to be. It was actually a lot of trial and error, which I actually appreciated from this process because I really saw the beauty of different people putting their vision, like what Rexy said, into that canvas, right? And that's part of our culture. And that's something that I never want to suppress. I never want to suppress someone's voice. And everyone who knows who works with me knows that about me. But our challenge as a company was more about consistency, right? And so what I said before, we're all rowing, but are we rowing in the right direction as the brand? Because we all see something about it that's so beautiful, but we also don't want to make the mistake of being too much or too everything for everyone, trying to kind of please everyone. So we had to learn in terms of our branding more about focus, more about communication and alignment. And that's not just with a color. You know what I mean? The color is one part of it, yes. But it's everything externally all the way till internally, company culture. Because the brand actually reflects in all aspects of our company, everything from how we treat each other, everything to how we talk on social media, everything from how the content on our programming shows are, everything to e-commerce and community. Everything is a touch point of a brand, right? Everything communicates. That's the beauty of it. With Kumu, it's really about making everything just more consistent and operating as one organism. And really achieving that unity in our journey as we grow, which is insane. It's an everyday insane journey. And Selena, you know that. But that's part of the fun. You know what I mean? Sorry, was I rambling?
No, that's perfect. It's always hard to kind of describe it because it's so like
it's like intangible, but tangible, but intangible. You know what I mean?
And that's the same as like it's also the challenge, the kind of like central challenge, right, of anything in terms of branding is how do you like make it like simple enough that people kind of get it and it's focused and it's aligned, but then also like. Yeah, at the same time, like make sure it still kind of contains the like the depth that you want to, or at least like over time, like is able to build that like depth of, you know, Disney means so many things to different people, or Apple means so many things, right?
There's something special about that too, because I think we do understand that it took a while to kind of get to this particular point, but then we didn't want to, you know, make it so contrived that, like, for example, like it took forever for us to build that brand book or whatever. It's like, it's almost like we had to kind of bake in the authenticity to actually fully reflect a brand that reflected who we are and truly understand that. Because if we like stuck to kind of like a typical kind of brand guide where we needed to be something right there and then, where, you know, creating, you know, a contrived mission, a contrived vision, and a look and feel, and you know, the right fonts and the right, all these things, I don't know if it would have really truly captured who we really were. And so that's why I'm always going back to why I'm so grateful for Vicky, you know, being a part of us really early on, is that's like a monumental challenge to be able to capture brand in a way that's actually authentic without having it to be too, not the word intentional, but like
too contrived.
Yeah, exactly. Like too contrived. You know what I mean? It's just like, it was almost like, how would you say it? It's like when you're baking bread, you know, or something like that. And when you're baking something, you know that you have to be like super exact, but creative enough to kind of direct the bread in a certain direction. You know what I mean? But just kind of let it grow. But then also realize if you put too much of this or put too much of that, it'll get out of control and it'll, I don't know, explode or something like that. But I really appreciate the nuance and the patience, my gosh, the patience that Vicky had with us to be able to kind of build something that's truly turning into something special.
I was learning as we were growing too. You know, I'm not going to say I knew what to do from the beginning. I just feel like I also had to learn, okay, everything I did learn about branding before may not necessarily apply, because it was such a unique, at the time, it was just such a unique adventure that anyone who came from the traditional background would be willing to throw that out the window because they wanted to learn something new. And like, this journey isn't traditional, right? For me, it was really about understanding first, what are we trying to build? What are we trying to do? What's our culture? What do we stand for? And then starting with the soul and then building the body versus what other companies do. They build the body, they build the aesthetic, they build all of that. And they're like, oh, wait, what's our purpose, right? So this felt more organic and authentic for me because you did start with those intangible messages or meanings. And then we built out, I guess, the body of it to look more structured or organized. But again, that's just structure and organization. You know, the soul was very hard to replicate. That's something that needed time for it to marinate. It needed the highs and lows for it to be what it is now. That's what makes the brand something everyone really gravitates to. You know, there's something really raw about it at the same time. And that's something that it really attracts people to it. And it's part of the magic of what I call a legend, right? In any story, whether it's Jollibee or Disney or that sort of thing, there's always that magic starting story. It's that magic of inspiration that you sparked, right? It's not a manufactured spark. It's a real story that, Selena, you're actually capturing that now, right, girl? So that's about it. I think, you know, we could, okay, I got lost. Back to you, Selena.
Pretty much sums up what branding is. It's a non-linear, it's a very non-linear thing. And only when you look back at it, it seemed that all the pieces kind of fell into place. But I'm sure as you were going through it, like 2 years ago, it was just like nothing seemed to make sense. But, you know, translating your soul, like Roland and Rexy, early on when you had the idea and painting the vision to make it clear to the users, that's not an easy thing to do. You can try to evoke certain emotions, ideas, and feelings that you intend as a company, but you also don't want to manufacture it so that Kumu users feel the same way. Like, you want to give them enough freedom and you know, like Rexy said, the brand really means something different to everyone. And I think Kumu's mission and vision of being authentic and real and unfiltered really plays into the fact that it can be anything you want it to be in the same way that you can be anything you want to be. You know, Vicky, you were talking about a lot of the communication that had to go on behind the scenes and as a brand that you really needed to focus because the problem was like trying to be everything at once. So from a technical standpoint, how did you make sure that all of the functions of the organization, all the departments of the business, everyone from the design team to the programming team, and even the people team are aligned with the brand vision?
what we're practicing right now is really just good communication. We think we're good communicators, but you'd be surprised. A lot of things still slip through the cracks. So what we're doing now is really practicing, whether it's updating on Slack or our Zoom calls, our weekly cadence calls, really aligning and talking about it. Even yesterday, I remember in our team, we have Jenica, who's our copywriter. Then you have Karina, who's our brand manager. And they had a discussion about Kumu being written with a capital K and a lowercase k. And I know for some people, they're like, oh, what does this matter? But what I love the team in terms of what they were doing, they were actually having a discussion and a thought process behind things now versus just saying, oh yeah, we'll just let that slide. Now we have more time to pay attention to the details, which we didn't have the luxury in the first few years, right? And having that careful attention to detail and really being patient to communicate that to all departments, right? By the way, it's a small K. But having the patience to sit down with another team member and say, hey, by the way, here are our guidelines. Here's what we're doing. Talking to all departments, talking to all artists, right? Helping them all understand that we're all on the same page. This is what I told the team as well. I said, okay, so you're going to say Kumu blue, right? And they're like, yeah. I was like, do you know exactly what shade of blue? Because, you know, is it sky blue? Is it, you know, like sea blue, like the ocean blue? Like what blue, right? And that's just a very simple example, because you could all think of a version of blue in your head. But until we actually sit down, discuss it, see it, have the patience to have that thought process of even discussing things, that's where we are now in the company. So I would have to say it's a lot of alignment, a lot of communication, and a lot of patience. And that's just internally as a company, right? So like what I said earlier, we're on the mission to operate really as one company. So whether it's marketing and then marketing talking to growth, and then us talking to programming and community and e-commerce and sales, really operating with one vision, with the same color blue in all of our minds, right? So that's something that we've been working on in the past 2 months, just so that for the future, we're just consistent and we operate as one. I hope that answered your question, Sal.
That was great. It's funny that you mentioned the color blue thing, because I've vowed to memorize the hex code of that color blue that we use, just so across all decks that I have to make in the future, it's uniform.
I've not abided by that blue multiple times, just because for the internal presentations, right, I just use the blue that kind of shows up by default on on Google Slides, and I'm like, shit, this isn't the right blue.
I just love how the team is so protective of it now, you know? And that's something, that's something you can't just buy, right? Like, that's something people really want to love to do. And because they're so protective of it and they nourish it, I respect that. So, you know, it's also not like the brand is just being directed by, say, the executives. Like, everyone in our team really loves to protect the brand, which I think is so valuable. They're so careful with all our assets. Yes, sometimes I tell them, I'm like, guys, okay, I think we can let this go. But I love at least that they put that energy into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think a big part of it too is like, where do you enforce structure and where do you give space, right? Like Kumu, the app, and UI UX is a different set of brand guidelines from Kumu, the social TV network that Angelo was putting together, right? Which feels a lot more like, for example, Adult Swim within Cartoon Network and in some cases versus like regular Cartoon Network. And I think that that's kind of like part of it. Or part of it is figuring out how do you like
marry them.
Yeah. Or like Disney, again, the Disney example, right? You have like kind of Star Wars lives within Disney and Marvel lives within Disney, but so does like all the Pixar movies. And so does like the kind of IP that Disney directly owns, but they somehow kind of harmonize while having their own like powerful identities. And I think that's something that, you know, I feel like Vicky, you've done a good job of doing and is super necessary for a company like Kumu, right? And for a group of people like the kind of Kumu team, is you need people to have their ability to carve out their own like creative spaces inside and like little rooms inside of it, but still like feel the same unified like house and family.
Absolutely. One of the things I tell, especially the new hires, I said, okay, I know you're going to come into the company with all these ideas and all these things you want to do. I said, but at least in your first week, just listen. They're like, what do you mean? I said, meet every department, feel their energy, talk to them, know what they're doing, understand them, like understand what they want to create too. It's not coming into the company and saying, okay, this is what your brand's going to be. It's kind of saying, saying, okay, what's being developed and how can we co-create this together? How can I help you improve this brand, right? So for example, with community, they have the most amazing brand and the most amazing energy. I tell them, I'm like, look, your job is just to support them and keep their creativity aligned. And let's just all connect. So we're still within the same family, but let them do them, right? Give them that freedom. It's not our job to also come in and dictate. I don't like that word specifically. I just had a talk with this yesterday, specifically like brand police, because I don't want people to feel like someone's policing them when they design and when they create. I said, why don't we say it like brand nourisher, brand champion, kind of reframe that so that you know, okay, you can all create what you want to create. Let's just align and make sure that we're working together on this. Because the last thing we want in any brand, right, is a conflict of two ideologies, because we're supposed to be working together. So just more on a week-to-week basis, what we try to practice is our weekly cadence. And that's something that I'm definitely not letting go of, especially with marketing and our brand and our creatives team. I said, you have to meet with every department in the company as best as you can, or whoever. If two of them are available out of the 10, meet with the two, because it's important. You always touch base with everyone so that you understand what the temperature of the company, of our culture is at all times, because that all influences the brand and our creative work. So I think, I feel like I'm just saying communication 50 times, but it works, you know, and it's always evolving. And what Rexy said, we're giving people also the creativity. So even when the girls were talking about our brand book last night, I said, look, this is our brand book as of September 30, but our app has gone through what's our next update 7.0, right? I said, don't you think our brand book will also update and evolve? So I said, so do like stick to the guidelines now for 2020, but just be open that in 2021, things will evolve too, you know? So I said, you can build structure, but don't be so attached that it becomes, you know, kind of like how old rules in history are no longer relevant, but they're still sticking to it. You know what I mean? So I said, have the guidelines now, but they're just guidelines, right? Just stay open still to evolution. And that's something, I know it sounds all, you know, airy-fairy in theory, but I said, at least, you know, experience and journey for the rest of the year. And then next year when we evolve, we'll evolve. And we'll get there, you know?
Yeah, that's a...
I don't know what Kuma's going to be.
First principles from our culture and values, actually, right?
Is like, yo, Rexy, you know. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a part of it, right? Yeah. We mentioned in the last episode around having that culture document. And I think that does form a part of the kind of employer branding in a way, but that's still, you know, it that also ripples out to just kind of the overall brand and how people see Kumu as a company and as a group of people. And I think what Vicky was saying is a good example of like one of those values that we consider as part of the heart of Kumu is like the first principles thinking, in the sense of when you have to kind of build structure to achieve those goals, at the same time, like be able to step back and think, okay, like is this still relevant now? Right? Like if I were to think about this problem and start from like a clean slate, like would I be solving it the same way? Would I be using the same processes? And if not, then also kind of having the freedom to move away from like some of those decisions you made in the past. Yeah, I think that's a great way to also think about how a brand evolves over time.
And I think like specifically with what you said, like our brand did take time to cook, you know, and that's something that we were doing from the very beginning. Of course, like what the guy said, you know, how can you establish trust when no one knows your brand yet, right? So you had to really build from the ground up through consistency, whether it's social media or our shows or PR. I remember in the early days, we would just keep coming out with stories and the different stories, because it wasn't just building Kumu. It was also building more awareness for live streaming, right? It's like, okay, we're not just building the company. We're helping people understand like, hey guys, this is our industry. And it came at a time where literally, I don't even know if Roland and Rexy know, like literally people would tell me like, why am I going to do that when I'm already on like these other platforms? So even just telling people about like, this is live streaming, and in a way painting that vision for them, and then showing people what you're doing in your company, and then putting it in an article, and then getting on the phone and talking to the editor, and then them ignoring your emails, and then them ignoring your emails again, and them ignoring it again. And then finally on like your 17th email to them, they finally publish it. Then you feel so fulfilled because you're like, yes, but it was consistency, right? because maybe in the first or second or third email, they didn't get it. But because we were so consistent with what we were trying to do and we weren't giving up, they finally saw it. They're like, okay, now I get it. And that was also part of building, you know, the legend of Kumu, of always just storytelling and putting it out there and staying consistent in whatever channel we could have. If we didn't have a lot of resources in the early years, we would put it on blogs, we would put it on social media, we would put it on our social media. We would do whatever it took to get the word out there, which was a part of our marketing and branding in our early days, which I still love. I look back and I'm like, those were so fun. It was stressful, but it was fun.
I love what you have to say too. Again, you know, back to cooking. I know earlier I was talking about bread, but now I'm realizing as you're talking about that is, yeah, because a lot of times people get pressured into cooking rice and it ends up being like Uncle Ben's instant rice. But for us, it really is like this really authentic way of making rice that, you know, it's like the right water level, the right, you know, you got to put your finger in there and kind of measure it correctly. But then as soon as it's right, it's just bam. It's just.
Yeah, you got to let it steam. You can't.
Yeah, you can't just let the rice out too fast because, again, back to being things a little being too contrived. And, you know, there's a little bit of a certain spiciness to Kumu and those types of things. And so, I don't know, I just, there's a certain recipe for what we are. And I guess for anyone who has kind of like a family recipe and a certain way of doing things or creating a certain type of meal, whether it's like adobo or sinigang, you know, the Kumu way, the Kumu recipe, definitely took some time, but as soon as it was there and it had that taste of something that was super authentic, then it was really amazing to see the community just totally eat up Kumu and like spread the damn thing like, I don't know, like a Jollibee or something like that. So I don't know.
I'm super loving these analogies, but then I also, you know, want to go back to what Rexy said specifically about it's pretty much like a Disney in the sense that you have different aspects. You know, you have your Star Wars and you also have your Pixar movies, but it's still the same Disney. Kumu, you know, you have your programming team, you have your e-com team, but it's still under the same Kumu. And I think also echoing what Vicky is saying is that there's a strong foundation because of that consistent effort and because of that dedication and attention to detail, but there's enough flexibility for people to get creative and still contribute to what Kumu is. But, you know, we talked a lot about the internal departments of Kumu, but there are also a lot of external partners that come in. And sometimes it's hard to control them so that they're aligned with Kumu, but at the same time, you don't want them to take over and so that they, you know, they use our platform without actually conveying what our brand is. So how do you guys mitigate, you know, those effects if a brand wants to come in or even like an investor wants to come in and wants to change the image of Kumu?
I can speak for the partners and then maybe the guys for the investor side. For the partners, at least in the beginning, we didn't have clear guidelines. And we also, I mean, that's on us too. I mean, we didn't have clear guidelines for a lot of things, by the way. But especially with working with external partners, I think we really, once we were very clear with our identity of, you know, do's and do nots or what is Kumu, what's not, we were able to communicate that and just establish proper boundaries when working with partners. One of the things I told the team early on was that, hey, a partnership goes both ways. So always make sure that we're helping each other, right? It's not really one-sided. It's not, okay, you know, you do all the work, right? That's not partnership. It's like, how can both partners help each other? And I think in our what I love about our partnership discussions now, it's really becoming a collaborative process. If you look at all the partners, whether with programming's bringing in e-commerce and sales, it's not just like, okay, here's the brand or here's the poster, or here's the asset, here, promote it. It's kind of like there's so many discussions now to understand both sides and then to marry it in a way that blends well, you know, and it's not just the visual identity of how it's being promoted. It's even the content. Like it comes down to that, you know what I mean? And I think that's a blessing because not all companies operate like that. Some are like, okay, just give it whatever, you know, we'll post it, we'll air it, whatever. Here, it's really about if you're going to come into the Kumu universe, there's really a discussion and a collaborative co-creation process happening where both parties win. And I think that's one of the things that we've been able to finesse within the last few months.
Rexy, Roland, maybe you guys want to talk about, for example, like investors or advisors who come in and have a different idea for the brand?
I think at the end of the day, it boils down to, just being kind of in the process of bringing on those investors and advisors, making sure you are aligned, right? And they have to, you have to have kind of a shared vision, at least on the important details of where we want to take this platform. That's something that we really appreciate, for example, Open Space 4, right? Like they said very early on that one of the biggest things that, and this has been echoed by kind of other investors as well, that they see as a potential for Kumu as an investment for them is our kind of community values and how seriously we take kind of moderation and how seriously we care about our community and how kind of like without that, it's not an opportunity that they're necessarily interested in the same way, right? And not just from kind of like a moral standpoint, but from a standpoint of like, if this is going to be a platform that really breaks through, it has to be a platform that's relevant for everyone and that respects everyone. So I think having those conversations early on has been very important and something that we make sure that we align on with investors and board members, just key people at the time that they come in through the door. And then I think when it comes to, when people are already on the cap table, people are already part of the journey, and then when we might differ in the kind of individual decision making, it's, I think at least for the most part so far, it's been because we know we're aligned on the big picture in the long term, we're able to kind of hash out those individual details. And there's just, a sense of trust that the team and the community have a sense of what needs to be done. I don't know if, Roland, there's anything you would add to that.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think what we always never forget is that Kumu's brand has always been about authenticity and being yourself. And all those types of things. And, I think it would be a huge tragedy if an investor actually pushed us in a direction to not be that. And, for us to have that unchanging core, like a tree that doesn't sweat in the middle of a storm, because those roots are so deep that, it doesn't, wilter away when a typhoon goes away. I think there's something really essential about that unchanging core of our brand, that we know who we are, no matter if we're in the middle of a social media kind of post or being mentioned on TV or just listening to a live streamer express themselves in an authentic way. And so, I think that that's just one of those things that actually ironically does attract investors and brand partners and those types of things, because, I think there's something really authentic about not having to change just because it's cool, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think just going back to the brand, it's kind of like, and going back to the earlier part of our conversation, it goes back to vision. And the vision from the very beginning was authenticity and connection. It was connecting Filipinos to each other and around the world. And if we stay true to that, maybe there's different paths to get there. Maybe we have detours. We'll find our way back. But it's a metaphor I heard before that all rivers, it leads to the same ocean. We know where we want to go. We know where we want to take this. We have trial and errors. Yes. Execution. Yes. We have our adventures and misadventures there too, but we know the vision, and we know it's still going to be anchored on what Roland and Rexy built. You know what I mean?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Okay, I'm not going to sing.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be my cold open.
No! You guys can also watch me on Spotlight. Just kidding. But I love that, like, our team dynamic is like this. We're family. I mean, we just...
Uber family, y'all.
We can be ourselves.
Yeah, I wasn't... Yeah. my behavior wasn't there, and it was cool. I love just how we could be completely open and forgiving of each other.
And I think because, you know, the team is so close and so honest and so true to their mission of being authentic and genuine, it the Kumu brand has kind of stood the test of time. And again, like what Rexy was saying, it's really about aligning and communicating. And it's always better to over-communicate in the same way that you guys over-trust, you know, like we were talking about in the culture episode. And that has more often than not led to favorable outcomes. But, you know, we have to actually close off this episode. So I just want to ask where you see the future of the Kumu brand going. Because, you know, for example, nowadays, there are a lot of patented names from brands that have been used synonymously to certain everyday products. So like Band-Aid, Scotch Tape, Ziploc. Those are actually trademarks that are being used to refer to these everyday items. So, you know, maybe in the future, Kumu will be synonymous to live streaming. So, you know, even if it's far-fetched, where do you envision the Kumu brand going?
It's happening now, Selena. People are saying like makumu kana, right? Which is pretty much like become a live streamer. And just seeing that already develop in people's language is so awesome to witness. Seeing Kumu become a part of pop culture, seeing Kumu become a test on a college quiz, seeing it become a focus of a thesis. Like, we're all witnessing all these things happening right now, right? But in the future, we really just, or I'll speak for myself, I really just see it as an international Filipino brand. And that's something that we've talked about a long time ago, that this is the type of brand that can touch Filipinos' hearts no matter where they are in the world. And we always talk about Jollibee too, which I also love. Kind of being, you know, the global Filipino brand that makes people feel close to home and close to their culture and close to their roots. Our execution, like I said, there's plenty of ways we can develop this and manifest this, but that's the core dream, I would say.
Yeah, I think, what's ironic, Selena, is, you know, where does the brand go? And I think there's something really timeless about, you know, unchanging core of like those kind of universal beliefs and in you know, authenticity, you know, like for example, the core values of the community, for example, you know, safety, positivity, and acceptance. Those are three amazing core values that they use to moderate the content. And, you know, I think it would be amazing if we continue to stand by those years from now, as we get bigger, because I know that those challenges will happen, not when we're currently at, say, a couple million monthly active users, but say when we're at 20 million monthly active users and it's election season or something like that, right? Like, can you imagine the type of challenges that our brand may face when we're at that particular level? And I think that, you know, years from now, it's going to be really interesting to see how the brand can endure, seeing the way a Walt Disney font or Mickey Mouse has evolved throughout the time, you know, Disney's been around, you know? So it's going to be really interesting to see. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we've already kind of seen some of those evolutions, right? Where even in the short period of time, we've gone from like, these guys are building a super app, good luck with that, to Kumu, the game show app. That's like a less cool version of Pedro to Kumu. I guess it's a live streaming app, right? The Alice Gonzaga endorsed once in a YouTube video, to now I think like much more it's becoming, as kind of you all mentioned, becoming a bit more synonymous with live streaming, and then also more synonymous with kind of people earning an income by creating. And then within the core community, like Kumu becoming more synonymous with like this safe and authentic community that people feel is really important to them. And I guess for me, it's like it'll continue to evolve. But I hope to see throughout that evolution gets deeper and deeper is the brand of Kumu as a company and as a culture and as a group of people, the same way that the Disney's, the Apples, the Alphabets, and I think like at least on the less on the consumer side, but when you think from the employer and like company builder side, right? There's very clear images that come with when you think of companies like Amazon and Netflix and ByteDance as like company builders and world builders to look up to. And I think what we're striving for is to for Kumu to become one of those like enduring brands, not just from a perspective of this specific product, but the kind of company and culture and community that that we're building around it.
It stands the test of time.
Exactly.
Mic drop. But you know, we actually mentioned Disney and Jollibee so much today that this is not a sponsored episode unless you guys want to send over some endorsement products, you know, especially Jollibee.
We will manifest a collaboration.
We should be putting
it out there.
We should just do this over Jollibee. That probably won't sound great. It'll be like
a
ASMR.
Lot of chewing. No, we should do an ASMR episode. Okay, now we're going off to different places.
You know, just drawing it back. I think at the core of everything, like Roland mentioned, it's really what Kumu stands for, and hopefully. Actually, no, not hopefully. It will stand the test of time because it's very fundamental in, you know, what humans look for. And it we always gravitate towards that sense of uniqueness and having a space to be ourselves, which is actually another great segue to next week's episode where we talk about how Kumu has become a safe space for all. And when I say all, I really mean all. Like you'll find the craziest characters on the app. And that's really because of the kind of environment that things like the culture and the brand has cultivated. So with that, you know, I'd like to thank you all for being here with us tonight and thank you for listening and hope to see you next week. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Kumu Kwentuhan. Join us again next week to hear more crazy stories from the team at Kumu. Check us out at kumu.ph and don't forget to download the Kumu app on the Google Play Store, App Store, and Huawei App Gallery.